Chapter 7. The Bondage. The days were full for White Fang. During the time that Kitcher was tied to the pine, he ran about all over the Indian camp, investigating, learning. He quickly came to know many of the ways of the man-animals, and the more he came to know them, the more like gods they became. His mother had given them her loyalty at the first cry of her name, and he now gave them his. When they walked, he got out of their way. When they called, he came. When they threatened, he cowered down. When they commanded him to go, he went away hurriedly, for they had the power to enforce any of their wishes with hits and clubs, flying stones and whips. It was a hard lesson for him to learn, for it went against his own nature. But in time he learned it, and even grew to like it. The day finally came when Grey Beaver decided that the possibility of Kitcher running away was past, and he released her. White Fang was delighted with his mother's freedom, and he accompanied her joyfully around the camp. But in the wild, the time of a mother with her young is short, and under the rule of man, it is sometimes even shorter. And so it was with White Fang. Three Eagles was going away on a long trip up the river, along with some other things. Grey Beaver gave Kitcher to Three Eagles to pay off a debt. White Fang saw his mother taken aboard Three Eagles' canoe and tried to follow her. A blow from Grey Beaver knocked him backwards to the land. He sprang into the water and swam after the canoe, deaf to the sharp cries of Grey Beaver to return. He was in such terror of losing his mother that he even ignored a man-animal, a god. Grey Beaver angrily jumped into a canoe in pursuit. When he overtook White Fang, he lifted him by the neck clear out of the water and beat him many, many times. At first, White Fang was surprised. For a moment he was afraid. Then he yelped several times as he felt the blows. But this was quickly followed by anger. He showed his teeth and snarled fearlessly at Grey Beaver. This made Grey Beaver even angrier, and the blows came faster, heavier, and more aimed to hurt. Eventually, White Fang broke down and began to cry and yelp. That night, White Fang remembered his mother and cried for her. He cried so loudly that Grey Beaver woke up and beat him. After that, he mourned quietly when the gods were around. Sometimes, though, he went to the edge of the woods by himself and cried and wailed loudly. At those times, he had the desire to run back to the wild, but the memory of his mother kept him in the camp. When White Fang was nearly 5 years old, Grey Beaver took him on a long journey, and in the summer they arrived at Fort Yukon, just under the Arctic Circle. Here were many Indians, much food and great excitement. It was the summer of 1898, and thousands of gold hunters were going up the Yukon to the Klondike. They were still hundreds of miles from their goal, and many of them had been on the way for a year. The least any of them had traveled to get that far was 5,000 miles, while some had come from the other side of the world. Here Grey Beaver stopped. News of the gold rush had reached his ears, and he had come with several bundles of furs, mittens and moccasins to sell to the gold hunters. He would not have undertaken so long a trip if he had not expected generous profits. But what he had expected was nothing compared to what he actually gained. In his wildest dreams, he had hoped for 100% profit, but he made 1,000%. Like a true Indian, he settled down to trade carefully and slowly, even if it took all summer and the rest of the winter to sell all his goods. It was at Fort Yukon that White Fang saw his first white men. Compared to the Indians he had known, they were to him another race of beings, a race of superior gods with superior power. Those white gods were strong. Grey Beaver was like a child god among these white-skinned ones. In the beginning, White Fang was very suspicious of them and watched them from a safe distance. But when he saw that no harm happened to the dogs that were near them, he came in closer. White Fang soon learned that very few of these gods lived at this place, Every two or three days, a steamer came in and stopped for several hours. The white men got off these steamers and went away on them again. There seemed to be great numbers of these white men. In the first day or so, he saw more of them than he had seen Indians in all his life. As the days went by, they continued to come up the river, stop, and then go on up the river and out of sight.